We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I mean, the story of Jesus' birth has been told around the world for centuries, even millennia. Yearly, millions, actually billions. I was like, how many Christians are in the world? That's a Google search, you know, and it says that there's, in 2010, they claimed to be 2.3 billion Christians on the planet. And of course, that's whoever took the survey, I guess. That was a joke. Okay, there's live audience people. They're just not awake. But billions will retell this story in readings and presentations in this coming week. There will be a fondness and a nostalgia for longtime believers and an exuberance and an excitement in newer believers of Christ. But how can we look at this amazing moment in history and make it personally applicable rather than just a story that stirs thankfulness? That's what I want to get down to today. Okay? And so today I want to take the short time I have to really pick through this amazing love story that God penned and highlight some of the applicable ways to allow this story to transform how we live our daily life. I believe that's something that I strive to do every time we gather, because I don't want us just to talk about something that's an idea that we don't know how to take and allow to change and set within us so that we walk out differently. And I believe that the Christmas story has plenty of things that can transform us if we will look at them a little bit more closely. And so bear with me as I take some time to pull key takeaways from the story and that are brought to us by some lesser and secondary characters in this story. And since, of course, all involved are secondary to the Savior King of the world, I'm calling this Lessons from the Supporting Cast on Christmas. And so someone might say, but Mary and Joseph, they're more like leading roles. Let's be honest. Jesus is it. Let's be honest. They did an amazing job doing what they needed to do. But if it's not Jesus, then it's not Christmas. Okay? If it's not Jesus, it's not Christmas. Okay. One person's excited about that. You guys are going to make it hard on me this morning. That's what I realized. Is it this? Should I get rid of this? You're just not paying attention? Okay. I'm going to preach regardless. Julie, you're going to have to give me a shout. You're going to have to really encourage me. For better, for worse. You said I do, right? So lessons from the supporting cast. And I'm just going to dive right into it today. We need to be like Mary and Joseph. We need to be like Mary and Joseph. Live in obedience, trusting and persevering to fulfill your God call. Being obedient. How many obedient, being obedient is hard? How many obedience is hard? How many ever realize that the word die is in it? Do you ever realize that you have to die to self in order to obey? In order to be obedient to what God has called you to? He's saying, I rose again so that you can die daily for me, and then I'll let you rise again too with me. That's an interesting thought. This concept of having to die daily if I'm going to be obedient to Christ. Because I'll tell you right now, sin is fun, otherwise no one would do it. The reason people sin is because there's a gratification that comes with it. But what you're choosing to do is live now and die later for eternity. Or you can be obedient and die now to the flesh and have an eternal gain and benefit forever living for Christ. Does it make sense? And so as I think about this, being like Mary and Joseph, think about all Mary had to overcome. The doubts, the nagging questions, the disappointed looks of being a teenager pregnant out of wedlock, having to explain a truly unbelievable story to your fiance. Like when you start to break down what it took for her to be obedient, it's kind of wowing. We just go, oh, what a nice story. No! It was a homewrecker story. You know when the Bible says, you know, God says, I didn't come to bring peace. Jesus said that. I said, I came to actually turn a mother against a daughter and a father against a son. What's he saying? That doesn't sound very nice. It doesn't sound very Christmassy. What he's saying is truth brings division. Yeah. and I am truth, so I'm going to make some division. Okay? So we see this from the very beginning. We're already seeing some sort of home wrecking happening here for people that don't understand the prophecy just yet. Right? But when I think of what Mary had to endure, and just come with me. Let's go there. Luke 1. It says this. Then the angel said to her, her being Mary, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now, of course, that's not what it means. It means since I'm still a virgin, okay? Because the word "know" means something totally different, okay? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." I love this for a minute. God's like, "Oh, you don't think I can? Well, I've already started over here with the barren woman that's your relative. So you can stir a little bit of faith." I love how God does that. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now you wake up from that moment. You wonder if what just really happened, was that really God? Was that a dream? Or as I often say, was that too much Mountain Dew in the NyQuil? Like, what just happened, right? But here's the thing I love. God says, through the angel, Elizabeth is already pregnant, and she's sitting here thinking, Elizabeth, she's like much older, and she's never had a child. She's pregnant 6 months, so what does she do? She immediately goes to check, right? Because you're going to go, "Okay, God, what you said, let's do it. I'm willing, but I need a little bit more faith stirred. Let me see what you've already said," right? So what's really interesting, though, is really breaking down what it would have taken to be Mary in that time. Do you realize committing adultery means that she should have been stoned to death? I don't think you realize that. Based on infidelity, that was life without grace then, right? And so what she was saying yes to was not an easy road. Can I tell you, being obedient to God is never an easy road, but it's always the right road. Now, how about Joseph? He didn't have a cakewalk either. Read with me in Matthew 1 here. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So when I think about what Joseph is going through, Joseph, his fiance is pregnant. He knows it wasn't him. It wasn't me. He knows. And so he's like, "All right, well, I just got to get out of this thing. Like, no, I have feelings for Mary. We were supposed to be married. I'm just going to divorce her on the down low. No one's going to know about it. We're just going to try and keep this thing quiet." He's sitting here trying to backpedal to save some pride. Anyone hearing this? Right? What he would have to overcome to succeed in his call with the ridicule and scorn of marrying a woman who appeared to have cheated on him before they were even engaged or before they were even married, to stand by her side while being the laughingstock of men, that he would help raise the Son of God who literally knows everything. That's another thing. You think your kid knows everything, or they think they know everything. He literally knew everything. That's another angle that no one thinks about. Let me show you how to do this. I'm sure Jesus was so patient. He was like, "Okay, show me." I mean, after all, it's Jesus, right? So he said, okay, show me. Posture. Okay. No, I'm just telling you, there were so many things that Joseph had to deal with that we don't think about. But yet, they were obedient. They continued to persevere. They continued to overcome the obstacles that they would come across. And I love that the Bible shows us doubt. Joseph had tons of doubts, but yet God continued to show up and give him wisdom and understanding. I believe if we're willing to ask God for wisdom and understanding, he will show us too so that we don't give up. He will help us understand the next step so that we can also persevere and be overcomers. Yeah? Are you getting this? Okay. Now I'm going to go to an even lesser character in the story. Character, loosely. Number two, let your heart be like the manger. Open and ready to receive the king. And so some of you would say, I'm always open and ready. Some of you would say, I've already received the king, but have you received the daily word? Have you received what he's trying to tell you today? You know, because it's one thing to say yes to Jesus, which is the beginning and the ultimate. We need to make a decision on who Jesus is to us. But to say yes to Jesus and then the rest of your life say no because you don't care what he said isn't the same thing as being open to the king. Are you getting this? Okay, so look at this. It says in Luke 2, and she brought forth her firstborn son, Mary, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When I'm thinking about this, look, there were many warm and well-adorned inns that missed the opportunity to house Jesus that night. Just like there are many hearts that miss the opportunity to house the Holy Spirit these days. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have lives that are perfectly adorned. We don't need to open our hearts after we have well polished our lives. After all, look at the lives of the disciples. They were far from well polished. We just need to be open and willing to receive. Like the open manger, we simply need to make space for his presence and allow God to take it from there. I'm always reminded of 15 years of youth and young adults ministry, and I just constantly remember hearing people say, yeah, I'll get my life together, and then I'll come back to church. Yeah, I got some things to deal with, and then I'll come back to God. And I always tell them, look, God wants to help you through those things. And if you could have done them, you would have already done them. And you'd already be back in the house of God. What I love is that God chose to come to us in this manger scene. It's this constant reminder that we're not too dirty for him to help. Our lives aren't so broken and so messy and so unwelcoming that he's not willing to step in. That he's not willing to change the space. And if you gain this today, remember, God wants to change and rearrange the space of your heart. He wants to change you for the better. He wants to help you be who you were created to be. You know, I often think about things. I remember when the kids were really, really little and we'd get them toys at Christmas and they'd be trying to use like the wrong toy for the wrong thing. You know, whether it's like taking those little spaces that fit in the boxes with the star shapes and the square, and they can't get it right, or they're taking a truck and using it as a hammer, and you're like, what is wrong with you? Julie! But really what it comes down to is I feel like when we aren't living the lives God created us for, it's like us using the truck as the hammer. And God's like, really? You were made for so much more than that. And if we will be open just to say, God, come in, I am a wreck. I'm a mess. I'm a pigsty. I'm a manger. But I'm open and ready for you to do what you do. I just want to allow you in. That's what we need to be doing daily. And this is a constant reminder. You can say, well, I made that decision 12 years ago. It's a daily decision to allow God into your heart. And what I mean by that isn't like a daily, I'm saying you have to daily decide, God, you're still God in my life. God, what you say still trumps everything else. What you say still means more than what I feel. You've got to make that decision daily. Are you getting this? Number three, let's be like the angel. Use your words to herald the news of hope. It's funny, you know, we sing all these songs, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And you're like, what does Hark the Herald even mean? Hark means listen. Hark means listen. Herald is to the message the angel is singing. Like, hey, listen to the message of what the angel is saying. See, we need to be more like the angel and speak the message the angel is saying. We need to help others understand the message the angel is saying. Ooh, I love this scripture. You ready for it? Luke 2 says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Now, don't start going to the Charlie Brown in your mind, okay? Come back here. Linus will be waiting for you another time. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." What's he saying? I got news that's going to change everyone's life. And it's good news for everyone, not for some. People will say, well, Chad, you say that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. That's not good news to everybody. Well, the reality is it's good news to all those that are willing to accept Christ. And the difference is all are welcome to accept Christ. So it's good news for everybody, but it's their choice whether it's going to be good or not. Okay. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's probably not a normal scene. So just saying. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, something I love, Max Licato is an incredible writer and has a crazy amount of books, but something he said that really resonates is this concept. When Christ was born, so was our hope. So was our hope. We sing so often of hope, but the reality is our hope was born that Christmas day. The fact that we would be able to experience a grace and a mercy that would flow from little baby Jesus, 8-pound, 5-ounce baby Jesus, who would turn to grow up into this amazing man that would live a perfect life and die for all of us imperfect people. Hope was born that morning. The fact that we have hope is because of Christ. Because if you put your hope in anything else, I promise you it will fail you and you'll find out soon. Let's get to the part where we get excited for the hope we have and leave these experiences with God and go and be an angel to somebody. That's what I'm saying. When we like these angels, they are, wait, I just jumped ahead. Don't take this. You say, you deserve better. Say, that's not what I said. Listen, we need to, just like the angel, he's excited to carry the news. The angel's excited to say, hey, there's something worth being excited about. Remember, there has been 400 years since Malachi, hello, God's been silent for 400 years. I think this is pretty exciting. We got reason to hope. And so the angel is excited to come and herald this news. He's excited about it, and we too should be excited. We should live lives that because we understand who Christ is to us, we're excited to share him to someone else. I don't know if you can even remember what it was like pre-Christ. Go back to your BC days. Hopefully there should be a pretty big difference. I didn't say you're perfect, but certainly a present God living in your life should change who you are. Right? So here's the thing. If you can go back and remember where you were and now where you are, why wouldn't you want someone else to know the God that has helped you? That should be an exciting thing, and we'll go further in that line in a little bit, okay? So look at shout of the good news of Jesus. Choose to care more for that person's soul than your ego or reputation. Because really, what keeps us silent? I'm not sure how they're going to take it. What if they take it good? Well, that'd be good, but I'm not sure. What if they take it bad? Well, at least you did your part. Because God isn't going to judge you for what you thought they were going to do. He's going to judge you for what you did. And this is a constant reminder to me because the reality is, if I was created with purpose, I want to live the purpose I was created for. I don't want to be a truck banging like a hammer. I don't know why that analogy came out. Makes no sense. That's the point. I want my life to make sense. I want to do the things that God created me for, regardless of what I think other people are going to think or what I think they're going to think of me. What am I saying? Get to heralding, y'all. So tell people to hark, listen to the herald, the message of hope in Jesus. All right, we'll move on. Number four, let's be like the shepherds. Search for the truth and make it widely known. Search for the truth and make it widely known. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Look at how excited are we about what happened on that night? I know we weren't there like the shepherds, but when we understand that that was the day that we had hope. Born with Christ was also our hope. And all that we experience, all that we know, everything that we live, the filter we live our life through, it's because God came to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Because if I can get excited about that, then Christmas isn't just about time with family. It's about time with extended family that don't know Christ yet. Yeah. It's about those that are far from God coming to God the same way that we were far from God and God literally came to us. This is what Christmas is about. It's about sharing the message of hope. It's about being like the shepherds and going and finding the truth and then making it widely known. We can't just sit on it. We can't just look for the turkey. We can't just look for, I don't know, maybe you're a fruitcake person. We can't just make it about tradition. We need to make it about the family that is far from God, who God wants reconciled with him. Let's be like the shepherds, find the truth, and make it widely known. So how excited are we about the hope that Jesus brings, about the mercy the Messiah has shown to us? Well, let's make opportunities for others to come to know Christ too. Number five, let your life be like the star. Okay, I said loosely supporting cast, okay? The star is a big part, right? But could it be considered a cast member? What I can tell you is there's no story without the star. How would they have all found him? I mean, God could have chose something else, but that's what he chose. I just let you be a part of that conversation in my head. So let your life be like the star. Shine in a way that leads seekers to Jesus. Shine in a way that leads seekers to Jesus. It says in Matthew 2, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The star didn't just shine aimlessly. The star didn't just shine where it wanted to go and shine. The star had a navigation point in which it was shining. If you ever taken a mirror, a little mirror, and reflected the light of the sun or something, and you create a spotlight on a wall from another light, you ever have a cat and you drive them crazy with it? Make them run into walls? not a cat person, okay? Now listen, the same way, we shouldn't just shine aimlessly. We should be deflecting. We should be reflecting. We should be aiming and navigating people to Christ. It's good to do good, but when somebody understands you're doing good and they ask you about doing good, you don't just say, I like doing good. You talk about who is good. We direct people with our shine. We don't just shine. We wouldn't shine if it wasn't for him anyway, but yet we've got to give a reason for our shine. We are not going to lead everyone we know to Jesus. In fact, the star only led those seeking the Savior to the manger. This is a reminder to us. Don't be dismayed by how many do not want to follow you to meet the Son. Just be aware that you're shining to direct the seekers that want to know. Here's the difference. You don't know who wants to know. So you just better shine. But I've talked to some people and they say, oh man, I feel like I've asked 10 people and only one came to Jesus. I'm like, yeah, but that one's in church right now. How exciting is that? They're following Christ. Yeah, but it took 10. I said, well, I guess that means if we talked to 100 people, maybe we'd have 10 people in here. As long as I understand, there was a seeker. I didn't know they were interested. I didn't know they wanted to know, but I was willing to shine and to redirect them where the glory is due, where the good actually is. I was able to bring them to Jesus, and it may have taken 1 out of 10, but the one was worth it. I'm always reminded the star didn't lead everybody. It only led those that were seeking. So be more focused that you are leading a life that shines, that attracts others, that makes people wonder. Be ready to lead people to Christ. Be ready to answer the questions why you are different. Reminds me of the scripture in 1 Peter. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Some of you really like when I give you homework. You've actually said that. You're one of those students. No, but here's a great thing for you to do. This week, pull out a notepad, pull out a note app, whatever it is, and answer these questions. Why do I believe in God? And who is Jesus to me? Because if you can't answer it on paper, you can't tell someone else. I'm not saying you've got to make it an essay with 15 different scriptures. Talk from the heart. Your own experience. Why? Because those are the answers that are going to shine people like the star to Jesus, who are going to lead and direct them to Jesus. And my last point, be like the Magi, be like the wise men, and seek to find the Savior and honor him sacrificially. Matthew 2 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Every time I read this story, there are certain just takeaways that come. And one of them is that wise men still seek. Wise men, wise women, they still seek and desire to bring a gift to God, to the King. They still desire to bring a gift to the King. It's not just, I'm glad I know him. It's they desire to honor him. And maybe that's the difference between the wise men had the resources and they were prepared. The shepherds were excited. And I think it's a great little side story of how you need the young and you need the less young to be able to properly honor God. You need some of the youthful zeal to be runners. Some of the mature to be resourceful in how we honor the King so that we can do all things and cover all bases to reach all people. That wasn't in my notes. But look, we may not be rich, but we certainly can be thoughtful and sacrificial when it comes to the way we honor the Son of God who chose the ultimate demotion to save you and I. I'm always blown away thinking of the God of the universe. Jesus himself chose to demote himself, be born of a peasant teenager in a manger, and eventually live a life to die, a death he didn't deserve, but to give us a life we don't deserve. It's really an amazing, amazing story. And so, look, our generosity is to be like the wise men. Don't let us shrink back in doing good this Christmas season. Don't allow ourselves to make it about the traditions. Don't allow ourselves just to make it about the materialistic things. Don't allow ourselves to make it about how many gifts are under the tree. Let's make sure we honor God. Let's honor him. Also, not only do they seek to bring a gift to a king, wise men and women still seek the Savior. It's the wise that give it a chance. It's the wise that say, God, if you're real, show me. It's the wise that say, if this is you, I don't want to miss you. If this is real, then I want it. Those that are honest when they look in the mirror, they know they are not perfect. They know that they have pasts that do not bring honor to God. Presents that don't bring honor to God, maybe you're today, this morning, didn't honor God. But it's the wise men, it's the wise women that say, God, I need you in my life. Let's be like wise men. Let's be like the Magi. Let's continue to seek the truth and let's continue to honor our God. Did you receive the word today?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.